Grace and peace to you. So truth can hurt. It can sting or bite. What ultimately has the power to heal us can feel exposing, vulnerable, and painful. Truth can be hard to pursue sometimes because the way to it can bite at pride and self-sufficiency or insecurity and vulnerability. It shows us what or where or who we are. And this can often be hard to accept. Perhaps all of us knows how painful it can be to accept parts of ourselves that we would rather not. Either accepting that we are slow processors, introverts, or need to be around people to function well, like extroverts. Or that we can't seem to shut our critical minds off. Or that we can't take anything seriously, or we take things too seriously, including ourselves. Or that maybe our laugh is too loud or our voice too quiet. Or that we are not strong enough for some tasks or not vulnerable enough for others. The truth of these certain predispositions can take many years to come to terms with. Sometimes we can change or address them, but not always. At the least, they remind us that we are finite, and that we need each other to be complete. But the point is, truth can be hard to accept. It can feel quite painful. And I think this is one of the messages from today's scriptural readings. The first reading is certainly colorful. The Israelites have been led out from their enslavement. They have felt led into uncertainty, unpredictability, and circumstances over which they have little control. So they begin to complain. The scriptures have God sending snakes against their complaints. But whether or not God is actually responsible for the snakes is noted by me, but it's not engaged. To me, this is a deeper and longer discussion of scripture's overall testimony of God's attributes and how we even find language to talk about God. But more relevant to this sermon is the bronze serpent that God instructed Moses to put on a pole. The promise was this: Whenever anyone was bitten by a snake, they should look on this snake on a stick and live. So a colleague this week introduced me to this sculpture by Italian artist Giovanni Fantoni. I think Marcus will put it up, and for those here, I can try to do my best to show you. So this is the brazen serpent monument atop Mount Nebo in Jordan. It is based on this scriptural passage of Numbers. I'll just keep it up. It is also built to resemble a cross, if you can see that. In this way, it also mirrors the reference in John. As the serpent was lifted up, so too will the Son of Man be. So says Jesus in John's Gospel. Jesus sees the Son of Man as healing and painful both. As the light can be painful to one who is familiar with the dark, as light exposes painfully, so too, says Jesus, does Christ. But what does this mean? Like Nicodemus, I have questions. What exactly does Christ expose? And what exactly does Christ heal? If the bronze serpent saved the people from snake bites like some kind of odd medicine, what does Christ save us from? To what truth are we exposed? And by what are we painfully convicted? Atop Mount Nebo, one can see the land that Moses and the Israelites understood to be the promised land. And here they may have longed for this land of their own. They may have been renewed in their hope and their expectation for it. Or they may have felt the overwhelm of how far yet they had to go. They were utterly dependent on this hope and guidance. They were vulnerable. Interestingly, one commentator on the passage in Numbers noted that this bronze serpent appears again in 2 Kings. Many years later, after the people had settled in the Promised Land and begun to establish themselves, they had turned this monument into an object of worship. The commentator noted how easily our ideals become our idols. The people had forgotten their vulnerability, their humility, and their pleading, and they had begun to worship what had once been given. The source of divine healing became hardened into some object of controlling the divine. I think this happens often in many areas of life. Political platforms that once were places for discussion, dissension, or agreement have now become idolized into some hardened sense of identity. As our Bible study discussed on Thursday, religious rituals that can have deep meaning can often be hardened into must-dos if worship is to happen correctly. The spirit behind these things can, at times, be forgotten. So the Israeli poet Yehuda Amichai has a poem titled "The Place Where We Are Right." It goes like this. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow. And a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. Perhaps it is easier to be right or correct than to be vulnerable enough to be exposed by what is true. It is easier to worship correctly than to be broken open enough to worship honestly. It is easier to hide those parts of ourselves we would rather not acknowledge than to accept them. It is easier to worship the cross than to live it. As we were reminded last week, that kind of life stings. Complete love has been lifted up. By it, we are exposed and we are broken open. We are also confronted with our failure to measure up. We are exposed to our very human and imperfect selves. But by the same acknowledgement, we are healed. We are saved from ourselves. We are freed to try again and again. Doubts and loves, or the truth of ourselves, these vulnerabilities soften us. But they also hurt because they break us open. Perhaps the love given for others lifted up, not become a hardened yard or an object of worship that we use to control, covering up our vulnerabilities or avoiding our hurts. Perhaps it is an invitation into this healing, a continued breaking open, a breaking open into this lifelong pursuit of love sustained by grace. And perhaps this is what we are to look upon so that we are freed again and again to be broken open and to love and be loved anew. Amen. Please join us for our hymn of the day, "God Loved the World."